or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, July the 3rd, 2003. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Butch Burdett of Florence, Mississippi, is the speaker on this.
Afflicted with, you know it's gone. Let me see your hand. What happened, brother?
Quit.
It's gone. No more pain in the joint. Amen. Who else? What happened, sis? You were the tinnitus. So it's not ringing anymore. You're going to sleep like a baby. Amen. And you just stand strong on those scriptures. He giveth his beloved rest and sleep. Amen. You lay down, your sleep will be sweet. Brother, what happened?
Hallelujah.
God opened it up. Woo! Who else? What happened? What happened, sis? You were the one with the spur. I saw in my spirit it was like a calcium deposit right in your palm. It's gone. And no pain? Hallelujah. Woo! Who else? Anyone else? What happened, bro? You sprained your ankle? So you were in pain? And there's no pain now? Woo! Man, Lord, you are something else. What happened, sister? Right. You stepped down and he lifted you up. Amen. 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 Some other things the Lord imparted to you today during the worship. When I said, sister, you got it. You knew you were the one. Amen. Anyone else? Just give you an opportunity. What happened, brother? The Lord opened it up. Thank you, Jesus. So you physically obeyed the word of the Lord. I was sensing that. I'm glad you did that because I was sensing that. Yeah. Right. And see, what's beautiful about that is that your heart was humbled before your physical body went through it. But you know what? Sometimes it works the other way around. I don't know about you. Sometimes it doesn't break for me until I physically humble myself, get on my face. Remember one time I was leading worship at our home church down in Louisiana, and this little voice came to me and said, man, it's just such a great worship service. And I'm listening to it and kind of agreeing with it, you know. And man, the little voice went on and, oh, the people just love this. And, oh, the anointing is so powerful. And then it changed a little bit. The anointing on you is so powerful. And you are such a great worship leader. And all of a sudden it kind of stopped me in my tracks. Now, I'm on the platform live. Several hundred people out there, and I mean, yeah, the fire's there, the glory's there, we're having a great time. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit interrupted this one-way conversation and said, you better discern this voice quick. And I said, uh-oh, I got to take some strong measures here. So I dropped the mic, well, I put the mic down on the platform, and I ran out the door into the parking lot by the highway and danced for a while in front of the crows. And the crows flew off, and the demons flew off too. Yeah. See, so what am I saying? I had to do something physically. You know, that's why the word says clap your hands. That's why God says you want to worship me and praise me. Lift up holy hands. Sing. And then he makes it a little more difficult on pride. He says sing in an unknown tongue. You think he'd just leave you alone, but he won't. Amen? Come on. See, this whole thing this morning here is talking, and I didn't intend on singing half of my message, but this whole thing this morning, God is wanting us to know we are waiting for the next level. We're waiting for the next experience, for the next level, if you will, or the next open door. And God says, I'm setting before you an open door, but you're going to get your brains knocked out because the door is down here. Amen? How many of you know we probably need to get our brains knocked out, huh? Some of the best breakthroughs in my life is when I got my brains knocked out, spiritually speaking, amen? I don't know about you, but my brains get in the way so many times. Anyone else here this morning, you just want to take a moment and give God the glory. Something has changed. Now, there are other words of knowledge that you're not going to be able to find out about until maybe later on in the day or later on in the week. But I'm telling you, the Lord has touched conditions in your physical body. Others, it was instantaneous. And others still, it's going to be a gradual thing. You watch. Because see, the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal. That ear is going to, the hearing in that ear is going to gradually get better and better for you, brother. Amen. Sis, you had something? You with the calcium, the bone spur in the foot, those things can be painful. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I only have you until midnight, so I've got to move along here. I like to give things back. You know, we worked for 700 Club in New Orleans for 4 years, and we were directing, with the Lord's grace, a counseling center there. We had like 40 phones. We had a couple of hundred volunteers. We worked with 400 churches throughout Louisiana, Mississippi with Operation Blessing. And Pat Robertson told us something that I never, he told us a lot of things I never forgot. But one thing he told, he said, you know what? He says, money follows ministry. He said, don't ever follow the money. He said, you'll get hurt. You'll get in trouble. He said, but if you won't look for money, you look for ways to minister. He said, money will find you. God will get it to you if he can just get the things he's already given to you through you. Amen. So I like to give. I have a cassette tape here, and I just feel the Lord wanted me to give this to someone that really into intercessory prayer. You have intercessory prayer meetings, maybe in your home, or you're praying with other ladies, other men. Sis, get ready. Good catch. All right. I want to give this one, too. That's a tape of songs that we've written that really minister to intercessors, they tell me. Here's a tape here we recorded in a basement of a Bible college in Ivanovo, Russia. It is in English and also in Russian. And you have never heard such beautiful songs as these Russian men and women singing in Russian with the anointing and the power of God. Oh, you may not understand what they're saying, but you know it's anointed. Who would like this? All right, sister, saw you back there in the blue. Why don't you come and get this? Arlo, let me throw it to the guy next to you. You ready? You ready? All right, and I don't want to hit somebody in the head with that. Let me say, too, real quick, because I'm going to move into this. We have some magazines, and I checked with Brother Glenn for his approval. How many of you know God's pleased when we're under authority, right? When we're rightly related. So I got his approval on this. This is the official Brownsville Revival newspaper. The Brownsville Revival. Brother Glenn, Gerald Miller came with his family to our retreat center there, and we just blessed him. And he said, well, I want to do something for you, brother. So he sent me a couple of thousand copies of this paper, and he put an article in there for us, free of charge. And I read the article, and I enjoyed the article, you know, and then I looked and I thought, I said, Lord, this thing's paper's going all over the world, and there's no mention of a phone number or an address or email or anything. And I got a little disappointed, can I be honest with you? I didn't pay a dime for it, but I was a little disappointed because, you know, you're looking for the advertisement and the plug and stuff like that. And I closed the paper, went about my business, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to go back and read that paper again. And so, see, here's a half-a-page article with my smiling face there. And that's one of our golden retrievers, Indiana Jones, there. And I said, Lord, you know, they got more about the dog than they do about me. And so I repented. And the Lord said, go back and pick that paper up again. And I did. And when I turned the page, I saw that the brother had done more than a half-a-page article. He did a whole-page color ad on our place, with all the advertising I could ever want. And but you know what? That's like the devil, ain't it? You know, if we don't get the whole story, we got to turn the page sometimes, see what's on the next page. See, the devil just wants to let us see a little bit. He don't want you to see nothing. But we have to be careful not to make a judgment based on just the partial thing that we see. God gave me a word years ago and said, things are not as they seem. We have some brochures back there on the high place. And if you'd like to pick one of those up, understand, if you're in our area there around I-20 or I-55, north, south, you're just a few miles from our place. And if you're traveling on the road, if you're full-time ministry, we will put you up overnight and just bless you. We're looking for ways to give something back. So please pick up card, brochure, newspaper, pass the word for us, would you? Because we're looking for people to come. Obviously, we have to have people that are going to come and pay for services too, amen, to keep the lights burning. Now, I'm going to pass this around to y'all, but you got to give it back. This is one of my two granddaughters. That's Emma Elizabeth. Just made 50 in May, and we had two granddaughters, one from my daughter-in-law. That's my daughter-in-law's grandbaby, Emma. And Michaela, I don't have her picture. Don't tell my daughter Leah that. But that's Emma. Full of the Holy Ghost from her mother's womb. Amen? You believe that, right? We've got parents and grandparents here. Don't let the devil steal that truth that we need to be laying hands on these little ones and imparting the Holy Spirit and imparting giftings into their lives. Can you say amen? We prophesied over ours while laid hands on the mama's belly and prophesied to the babies in the womb. Amen? And I know that you know deliverance can be ministered to them in the womb. Probably needs to be. Amen. Stretch forth your hand to me, if you would. Father, I thank you for this opportunity today. Lord, I thank you for the joy that you filled my spirit with. Lord, and I know that you're going to take care of my father-in-law there. I know you're taking care of our camp and the things and needs over there. Lord, that is not my focus and that's not my concern today. All these things are in your loving hands. But Lord, today I want to focus and give myself to this time and this place, this people. And Lord, you've assembled us here for a purpose. And I pray, Lord, that you will perform all that you desire to do in this particular service here today. Thank you for those that you've touched and already healed. And now, Lord, we pray that you open the ears, open our understanding, write these truths upon the tables of our heart. Father, I pray that none of these words that you have breathed will fall to the ground. But I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I've already given you a little bit of my testimony. Born in 1953, Charity Hospital, premature. I was told that I nearly died with cleft palate. My mother, being a young 18-year-old girl, first baby, didn't know how to take care of a handicapped child. And I'm told I pined away and cried until I didn't cry anymore. And in desperation, my mother rushed me to my grandmother, who was a praying Catholic lady. She didn't know Jesus as we know him at that time, but she knew enough to lift me up to God and ask God to spare my life. I'm told that my grandfather went to the Frigidaire, and for all you Yankees, that's a refrigerator. So here in Louisiana, it's a Frigidaire. And got a chilled glass or spoon or something, put it under my nose and determined that I was barely breathing. My grandmother wrapped me up with warm blankets and fed me with an eyedropper in the crook of her arm. And I'm told, and every time I'd go to Grandma's house, she'd sit me down. She'd say, "You sit down, son. Mama gonna tell you some stuff." And she did. She said, "Let me tell you, son, God spared your life," in her little Cajun accent. And God saw to it that I never forgot that a miracle happened to spare my life. And I remember several years before she went to be with Jesus, because I prayed the sinner's prayer more times than I can remember. And she say, "My nickname's Butch." She said, "Butch," she said, "I'm so scared. Mama's so scared to die." I said, "Grandma, you don't have to be scared." I said, "You call on the name of Jesus." And she was a very simple woman. Boy, could she cook. Grandma could cook. First thing through the door, "Hey, sit down, eat." You know, it's typical Cajun home. But I told her, I said, "Grandma, you don't have to be afraid to die. When the Lord, when the time comes for you to go, he's going to send an angel, and you just go fall asleep." And you know, when they found her in a rocking chair, the EMTs that found her, I asked, of course, an indication that she suffered or how did she die. They said, "Well, from all we can tell, she just leaned back in the chair and fell asleep. But no pain, no trauma." They said, "No, because she would have lurched and fallen on the floor or struggled." So she just... we found her in the chair with her head back, asleep. So I'll see her again. I tell my children, Debbie and I have 7 children, been married 30 years. And I tell my kids, there's 2 things in life. Number one, make sure you're going to go to heaven. Now, don't think that's selfish. Jesus himself said, what profit is it for you to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? See? When we know we're going to heaven, we're much more empowered and emboldened to get others to go with us. Amen? See, if we ain't sure about it, how in the world can we convince others? So you make sure that your eternal home is heaven. And the second most important thing in life, take as many people with you there as you can. Amen? So my grandma now, she had to come through a lot of stuff. She was a traiteur. How many knows what a traiteur is? In South, that's a treater. You know, they pray over, they rub potatoes over it, you know, and they sprinkle. It's a form of witchcraft. It's kind of like community witchcraft. Comes down through the years. She read the cards. She read the tea leaves. She was into all that home-style witchcraft that's very accepted in the South. Well, the Lord cleaned her up of all of that. Hallelujah. When I was first married to my wife of 30 years back in 1973, Labor Day, immediately, and at that time I was born again, 12 years old, in a Baptist church in California. Fell away from the Lord, really didn't know, was an altar boy, parochial school, went through all of that, and was searching for the Lord. Used to get up at 5 in the morning, go pray with the nuns. We'd all lay on the floor. I mean, I'm talking about when the guitar masses, how many of y'all come out of Catholic? All right, you know, the guitar mass and the trumpet, and it freaked people out and everything, you know. But we were hungry. We were looking for God. We just didn't know where to find him. We'd get up and pray and cry out. And I'd turn over in the morning, and the nuns would be snoring. You know, we were all trying. We were just so tired. But, you know, I started having dreams. I started yielding my heart to Jesus. Didn't know how or what to do. But we were married, filled with the Holy Spirit. I had 1 more year left in the Army. And I started having dreams and visions. Didn't know what in the world to do with them. And one of the first experiences as new Spirit-filled believers, water baptized, Holy Ghost baptized, I had told my wife one morning, I got up early, I was going to the airport to buy some tickets for a missionary, and I said to my wife, I said, I've quit my job, I got out of the military, quit my secular job, showed up at my pastor's doorstep. He was a year out of seminary, little Baptist church had just come into the Holy Ghost. And I knocked on his door. I said, Brother Rod Aguilar, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's my mentor, spiritual father. I said, Brother Rod, I'm here reporting for duty. He said, what do you mean? He said, God's called me to the ministry. He said, well, brother, I've got plenty of work for you. He said, but I don't have any money. I said, I ain't asking for a dime. I said, I want you to put me to work. He said, well, I got plenty of work. So we walked by faith for 6 months, never missed a meal, never missed a bill, walked supernaturally, my wife pregnant with our first child. And I came home from work that day. She said, you're home early. I said, yeah, I quit my job. Her stomach's sticking out with our first baby, you know. And didn't even have a car. We're living in her sister's house. And I said, I quit my job. I'm going into the ministry. Now, it's one thing to tell your wife at 2 in the afternoon, and she's living at her sister's house, that you quit your job. It's another thing to tell her you're going into the ministry. Then she really cried, you know. But it's been good. God met all of our needs supernaturally. But one of the things I did that morning going to the airport, I said, I feel like you're supposed to clean our house. And not just physical cleaning. I said, I want you to go through all of our property, all of our boxes, everything we've stored, and anything that you're not sure of, pull it out on the side, put it in a bag. While I was at the airport, make a long story short, I came under severe demonic attack. So severe that I had to leave the line, walked into the bathroom, and I won't be graphic, but there in front of me was the stalls, and it said, deposit 10 cents. I said, ain't no way. So I just ran and fell and slid up under the stall. I don't know who saw me. At that point, I didn't care because I thought I was going to die. It was that bad. I mean, my head was spinning. My stomach was boiling. And just, So I went there and began to plead the blood of Jesus. Well, guess what? At the same time that I came under that attack, my wife was going through our little shotgun house there in Reserve, Louisiana, finding all kinds of things, all types of articles, satanic rock albums that people gave me when I was in the military in a box. I didn't even listen to them, but they were in my house. They were in my possession. And the enemy was getting uncovered. Well, I came home, find out about it. We took all the articles in the bag. I brought them outside, and I lit a match and began to burn it. Now, listen, I'm talking a newly spirit-filled, baptized, had not been through any seminars, no books, no teachings. And I'm not discounting it. I'm just telling you, God was supernaturally teaching me and leading me through this because it was needed. It was vital for us at that time. And we lit the fire, and I'm telling you, there was no wind. I'm not exaggerating this. I don't want to glorify the enemy, but God was educating us big time. And he was kind of exposing us to the supernatural. Black flames, I didn't put oil or all kind of stuff. Black smoke, thick smoke out of this pile of rubbish there. And the smoke began to turn and come at me, literally. It's like it was alive. And the Holy Ghost in me, I saw myself point my finger. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this. And the smoke went back out, went back up into the sky. I'm not exaggerating. See, we were being educated to the reality of the unseen spiritual world. My mother, bless her heart, Debbie had just had our first son. She was home from the hospital a couple of days. And my mother, bless her heart, of course, she was Catholic as well, gave us a ceramic statue of the Madonna and Child. Beautiful thing. Beautifully disarming thing. And my wife, being Baptist, when I put it on the dresser of our bedroom, said, I don't think we should have this in our house. Oh, babe, you know, I'm not going to worship this. This is not an idol to me. I'm not going to, you know, all the different reasons. But my wife was discerning this thing. So I put it on the little dresser there in our bedroom. Well, that night, my wife woke up in a puddle of blood, and she had begun to hemorrhage. So, you know, me being God's man of faith and power of the hour, you know, I began to rebuke. But you know what? There was no peace. There was no faith. It was just kind of like, you know, going through the motions. I knew what I was supposed to say, supposed to do, but there was no power. See? And so I rebuked the devil. I pleaded the blood of Jesus, everything that I'd already learned from my pastor in our church. I went through all of that, and I said, okay, babe, we're going to walk this out by faith. So she cleaned herself up, cleaned up the bed, laid back down. Maybe an hour later, she woke up now this time, not just hemorrhaging, but she is. And I'm going to be graphic just so that you know the serious. She was passing blood clots and bleeding bright red blood. And thank God the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, your wife is dying. One an evil report, it was a fact. Your wife is dying. Listen to her. And thank God one more time she said, we need to get that thing out of the house. Thank God I yielded instead of being, you know, God's macho man leader. And I said, okay. So I took it and I put it on the back porch. You know, kind of, what was it? Leah's idols or whatever, you know. So I put it on the back porch because I knew my mother would be coming by saying, wanting to know where it is. See, all those bondages and all those intimidations were working on me. So I put it on the back porch. But guess what? God in his mercy. I walked into the house and for the first time all night I felt the presence of God. I sensed his presence. And you know, when God's presence is there, faith is not a struggle. Gift of faith dropped into me. I rebuked the bleeding, the hemorrhaging, and I knew, and my wife knew instantly, it stopped. We had the victory. We laid down, went to sleep, rested all night. I got up the next morning. I said, you stinking devil. I knew what was going on now. Yeah. Takes a while for us guys sometimes, huh? I said, you stinking devil. I went on the back porch this time. I didn't care what mama thought. You know, this thing almost killed my wife. Man, and look, plaster of Paris. I flung it with all my might, and I was pretty angry. Hurled it at the sidewalk behind my house, and the thing barely even chipped and bounced. I'm still learning some stuff. I said, I rebuke the spirits in this thing in the name of Jesus. I threw it this time, and it shattered. We burned it more black smoke. It's another story. God was teaching us some things. We had a lady in our church that was heavily oppressed. Now, understand, I'm talking baby Christian right now. Woman came over to our house, big time oppressed. The scary stuff, you know, for baby Christians. I didn't know what to do. But you know what? I think I was more effective in my ignorance than when I started learning some stuff. And again, that's not to detract from the necessity of teaching. Teaching is good unless we get proud with it. Then we're in trouble. The Word says we can be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You understand one of the things in the last days? Thank God for a place like this where men and women minister, and I sense that here, minister with a spirit not only of excellence but in humility. Because listen, there are a lot of places they're heaping things together with itching ears and they ain't learning nothing. They're learning how to be self-confident. They're learning how to be self, you know, dependent on their own ability. And they're not going to get a whole lot done in the supernatural realm. Can you say amen? So, God was giving us experience. This lady, we sat down on the carpet there, my wife and I and this lady, and all of a sudden, I heard myself saying, "Satan, it is written." And I quoted scripture. And she kind of buck up and tremble. And I'm, another scripture, "It is written." And I hit it with another scripture. "It is written. It is written." I'm telling you, after about a half hour, 45 minutes, and I guess it was supernatural because I didn't think I'd memorized that many scriptures. But it was coming out of my spirit. And the word of the Lord was coming forth, and it was pulverizing these demonic forces. And after about a half hour, maybe 45 minutes or so, the woman just screamed and fell into a heap. And it was over with. She was free. And a baby Christian, two relatively young believers in the spirit, had ministered deliverance to a seriously oppressed lady. And she got set free. Sitting there on the carpet of the living room. See? And all it was is, "It is written. It is written. It is written." The same way Jesus resisted the devil in the wilderness. Amen? Hallelujah. God put this on my heart this morning as I was meditating on this. There's a problem in the body of Christ if we're not careful. Many teachers, and I feel this is the word of the Lord for us, many teachers, if they're not careful, will create a dependency in those they teach. In other words, okay, we're going to have to wait for the next miracle crusade to come through the stadium to get our miracle. Now, I'm not saying this, understand my heart. I don't want to get in trouble with the Lord because I know I reap what I sow. If I criticize other ministries, it's coming back to me 100-fold. I don't want it. But I'm telling you, there's a mentality out there like, "I missed my miracle, this crusade. They're not coming back for 9 months or a year." You follow me? Same mentality of the Pool of Bethesda, wasn't it? The angel troubled the waters, and only the first one that got in got the miracle, and everybody else had to kind of, you know, drag themselves back up to their pallets and wait another season. Where it says that the angel came at different seasons, maybe four times a year. Four healings a year, and there were thousands and thousands of people that had been there all of their life. Think of the misery. Jesus dealt with that problem when he said, "Look, I'm your source of your miracle. What you need is standing here before you right now." So I'm saying this, and I'm seeing this happening in the body of Christ, is not just the teaching as Jesus did. He taught his disciples, but he also demonstrated, right? He showed them, he taught them, and then he sent them. And see, we can watch, we can learn, we can ever be learning, but until we go, until we get out there and just start getting out there where the needs are and ministering to the people, we never really come to a full understanding. Does everyone see that? And we have to be careful. See, when we have teachers that come through our home church and all, even from a young believer, God had quickened me, "Don't let this person leave until they lay hands on you." Why? Impartation. It was not enough for me just to sit at their feet and hear their words. They had something in them, tangibly, in the spirit. And the Lord says, "You need a measure of that in your ministry. You need some of that in your life." So I got out of my seat. And you know what was amazing? A lot of these teachers and ministries, fivefold ministries in the body, had never been asked in their entire ministry to have them lay their hands on them and pray. And I think that's not good. Amen. I'd do that with my children. I'd see something in that ministry. You understand, it's the responsibility of parents to discern the ministry and make sure the ministry's clean. Notice I didn't say perfect. You know, we're going to see a whole lot of that on this side of glory. But to make sure that their heart is upright before the Lord. And I'd bring my children before them and I'd say, lay your hands on them. See, just like Joseph did with his sons. Wanted his father to lay his hands on them and release the patriarchal blessing. So grandparents and parents, be sensitive to that. When you see a ministry displayed in your local church or your home, your Bible study, wherever it is, and something in you is saying, I want my son or my daughter or my wife, my husband, I want to move in that realm, Lord. Get them to lay hands on you and pray, okay? I think we killed that rabbit. All right? But notice that Jesus not only taught and demonstrated the anointing, he commissioned the 12. Remember that? He commissioned them, he authorized them, and he sent them out. And that's where the real learning took place. Huh? When they came back half beat up, you know, and, you know, said, man, why couldn't we cast them out? Okay, lesson two. Sit down, boys. Now that I got your attention. Seven sons of Sceva learned some things, too. But they didn't learn it the way God wanted them to. But, boy, did they learn some stuff, huh? Cost them some clothes. And some camphophonique if they had it back in that day. Hallelujah. Let me say this. My experience has been that the most effective and least tiring method of ministry is what I call, and I don't have a handle on this, but I call it manifested presence ministry. And that's what we experienced this morning. I was so glad, you know. He said, well, brother, do you try to manipulate or make that happen? I just try to position myself to be under it when it drops. Does that make sense? It's almost like a cloud that's like this high, and all I got to do is kind of try to poke a hole in it and drain it out. In a good sense, I'm trying to provoke the Lord, you see, with my worship and my praise and my adoration until he just can't stand it anymore, and he has to come down here. Can you say amen? And you just keep it up. You just don't quit. And understand, my personal experience has been, it takes more than just singing in the Spirit, maybe 30 seconds. Come on. Now, for most churches, and I'm not trying to be negative on church, but, you know, most public assemblies, there's so much on the plate, there's so much to do, and I understand that. That's why what we're endeavoring to do at the High Place is to have times where we're going to have just entire days, entire evenings of just worship. Just minister to the Lord. And God has spoke to my heart and said, when you come into this, you'll come to a place to where everyone in the building is miraculously healed of whatever ailment. And get this, what he told me, not just saved and spirit filled, lost people. Lost people. Catholics. Whether, you know, some of them know the Lord, some don't. I understand that. Some Baptists know the Lord, some don't. Some Pentecostals know the Lord, some don't. You understand? It ain't how far the bobby pin flies. Amen? Come on. I've been services like that. That's an experience, man. I said, Lord, I thought I was humble. I guess I ain't humble enough. Most effective and least tiring ministry. I've been in ministry by God's grace 30 years. And you know, I minister prophetically. Presbytery to go to different places and prophesy to people. And sometimes it could go 8 or 10 hours. You know, it took me 30 years to figure this out, that the anointing flows even if I sit down. They sat Moses down on a rock at the top of a hill, held his hands up. Israel still prevailed. God didn't say, no, stand on your feet 12 hours. And then I'll, no. See, so I'm kind of messing with you a little bit here, but just to let you know, there is areas in ministry that don't burn you out. God does not intend to tire us and burn us up and burn us out. He wants us in this thing for the long haul. Can you say amen? Matter of fact, one of the purposes of the High Place, the Lord told us out of 1 Samuel chapter 9 and chapter 10, that's our scriptures for the retreat, is where God had Samuel the prophet at a place literally called the high place. And here's what he would tell people. He would say, come, eat with me, spend the night, and in the morning, I'll tell you everything that's in your heart and send you on your way. That's our mandate there. You understand that Jesus spent a lot of his time trying to get he and his disciples away from the people? Boy, then that's not going to go over with the warm and fuzzy friendly, user-friendly gospel. I'm telling you. The Word tells us plainly at the busiest times in their ministry, when they didn't even have time to eat and rest, Jesus said, okay, guys, time out. Let's get out of here. He said, come on, let's get to a quiet, solitary place so you can rest. And they went to the other side. Remember that? They went in the boat, went to the other side of the lake. People run around the bank, man, you know, wheelchairs rolling and stuff. And they're going to try to find him. They were waiting for him when they got over there. Come on, I'm preaching good. He knew, he said, look, he knew, I've got you guys 3.5 years, and I don't want you guys burning out on me in 3 years. Jesus knew he had 3.5 years. He gave his entire life. But these men had ministries long years ahead of them. And so he wanted them to understand there was a time that they had to get away and rest. That's why you're here. Every one of you, I'm sure the devil gave you all kind of reasons why you had other important things to do. Come on. I see it all the time. You know, it's a blinding, deceiving spirit. I talk to ministers, and I talk to church members and all. They come in, and they say, well, brother, we've come up to your camp, and I know you hear the same thing, Brother Miller. We've come, but y'all just so far, you know. They have to drive 2.5 hours from New Orleans to get to your camp. And I said, one particular brother, I said, brother, how honest and blunt can I be with you? He said, oh, bring it on, bring it on. I said, all right, we'll bring it on. I said, you ever took your family to Orlando? Yeah. You ever drive? Yeah. About a 14-hour drive, ain't it? Got to drive all night. You get in the car on Friday after working all week. You drive all the way through. Saturday morning, you don't even sleep. You check into the hotel room. You get to their Universal Studios or wherever you want to go with your family. You wait in the hot sun all day. You pay hundreds, if not several thousand dollars for these crazy rides. Come on. You wait for 90 minutes average in the hot sun to ride a 3-minute thrill ride. And then you get out of that line and go do it again. And 8, 10, 12 hours later, you pay $10 for a hamburger, fries, and a drink full of ice. A person, come on. I know, I've been there. You get blistered, you get sunburned, you get tired out, you get dehydrated. All right? You drag yourself back up to the hotel, try to get a couple hours of sleep. Get up the next morning, do the whole thing over again, then drive home and barely get enough sleep, a couple hours sleep before you get up and go to work. Come on. Now listen, we will do that without a whimper, without a complaint. All right, kill another rabbit. Well, I guess I'm giving you this because we need to be able to minister directly, but in love, of course, to people that oppose themselves. I just can't go to camp meeting. Y'all just too far to drive. Well, we need to address those are some lying devils talking to them. And we need to love. I'm always, my children, some of my sons and daughters are in ministry. And I watch them like a hawk. And I tell them, I said, you know what? When this building and even this congregation, we've all passed, gone to be with the Lord. I said, the only thing you're going to have is your wife, your husband, your kids. Your grandkids. Amen. I said, take care of them. Don't get so busy, you know, ministering everything and everybody else that you lose your own. Hallelujah. And a lot have done that, unfortunately. So, manifested presence ministry. And that's a place where I'm doing less and he's doing more. Because that's the problem. The more I do, the less he can do. The more I think I have to do, the less he's going to do. He's just going to step aside and wait for me to figure it out. Not I, but Christ. Lord, I can't do this. I need you. Someone had said, I don't remember who, but it was a wise saying, the purest form of ministry is knowing when and how to get out of God's way. Knowing when to get out of the Lord's way and let Him touch His people. Let Him minister to His people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's the scripture. If the Lord shall not help thee, how shall I help you? Man, if God's not going to do the same, what can I do? The people need to be properly positioned both to release ministry and receive ministry. That's one thing about corporate worship and spending time as we did this morning just hanging out in the Spirit. At some point, we become pretty much so corporately positioned in our attitude and in our expectancy before the Lord. We position ourselves in such a way that we're ready to receive now. Amen? That's why worship is so important to the church. But you know what? You read of Ezekiel's vision. Remember the vision of the river? And you have the river that is, he measured out, it was ankle deep. Remember that? Then knee deep. Then waist deep. And then waters that could not be measured. Waters to swim in. You know what's neat about that? It's a choice. Turn to your neighbor and say, you choose. God's desire is for you and I to get way out there with waters to swim in. Waters that cannot be measured. It was Jesus' desire for Peter to walk on the water. To get out of the boat, to experience the supernatural. Let me ask you, there was nothing really important. You know, there was nothing to be proved by Peter walking on water with Jesus. Come on. But Jesus said, come on anyway. I know that you want to experience this, Peter, and you need to. Come on. And he did. So you and I determine. It's not up to God. And I don't believe it's up to the devil. I believe it's up to you and I by choice. I choose to splash around in ankle-deep water. If that's all I want, that's all I get. But I know there's deeper waters, amen? I know there's deeper experiences in God. And thank God for the ministry. You know, one aspect of the ministry of deliverance is people that want to go but can't. Come on. It's like a choke collar. You ever see that? You've got this animal. Not that I'm likening us to an animal, but you've got that animal. Oh, yeah, there's running room. They can run around. But when they want to get over to something new, it's kind of like, thank God for deliverance that breaks these chains off of people so they can step out and move forward. Can you say amen? So people need to be properly positioned to release ministry and to receive ministry. I'll give you an example. Years ago, the Lord dealt with me about ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I have seen people that cannot receive. And here's the reason. Watch. What's that tell you? It's kind of like a body position, but it's kind of like, I'm not worthy of this, or I'm scared, or I really don't know if this is going to work. Or please leave me alone. Stop talking in all that funny language. You know, it's a position. And here's what the Lord told me to do. He said, tell them to lift up their countenance. So I just grabbed him by the chin. I said, come on, lift up your face. You really want this? You really believe this is scriptural? Yes, I do. Then lift up your face. Come on. I want you to just tilt your head back. Begin to worship and praise. Come on, open your mouth. What am I doing? I said, well, I'm not trying to manipulate it. But then this is not a receiving. This is not expectation. This is expectancy. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your countenance. I challenge you to try that. Works for me. They're speaking in tongues in a matter of seconds. But here's another situation I want to share with you. Wrong focus hinders the flow of the anointing. Remember the man at the gate, beautiful? The Lord used Peter and John to heal this guy, raised him up. And everybody came running. And here's what the apostle said. Why are you looking at us as though we ourselves had the power to heal this man? He said, it's not us. It's the name of Jesus through faith in his name that's made this man whole. See, if we're not careful in ministering to people, and you have to be very sensitive and discerning in that the focus is not turned on you. I don't know about you, but my flesh likes it. Come on. Yours does too. And if we're smart enough to admit that and then guard ourselves of it, then at some point we can say, okay, let's just all worship God. Come on, everybody. Let's begin to praise the name of Jesus. Let's all shout. What's that wise minister doing? they're deflecting the focus and attention off of themselves. They're stepping back, getting out of the way, and getting people refocused back on the Lord. It's a great, great way to protect yourself. People were healed as they worshiped Jesus. Think about all the New Testament examples of those that would fall down at His feet and worship Him. The woman that would pour the oil over His head, a form of worship. The other, those in desperate need, would fall down and wouldn't get what they needed until they worshiped Him. See? And said, "Oh Lord, I need. Lord, I need. Oh God, heal me. Oh Lord, this." Well, they worshiped. And then the miracle happened. You check that out in the scriptures, you'll see there's a correlation there, there's a parallel there. The word says, "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with what? With praise." See, there is a proper way of entering into the presence of the Lord, and it's with praise and thanksgiving. Now, if we're not careful for the sake of time or brevity, if we try to bypass these things, you know what? God will let us do it. And there will be. You understand that even a few sick folk can be healed in the midst of unbelief? Isn't that what it said about Jesus when He went to Nazareth? There He could do no mighty miracles because of their unbelief. There's not a spirit of faith in Nazareth, save that He healed a few sick folk. Now I want to tell you, story of the church today, and I love the church, I've given my life for her, and I will, is that we're just seeing a few sick folk healed. We're not seeing no great signs and wonders. I still go to too many funerals, and they don't come out of the coffin yet, like they did in Jesus' day. I am grateful for all the miracles, the healings that were spontaneous. You understand, creative miracles. For a bone spur, I don't take that lightly, for a spur to dissolve. For the different things that happened here. But there's a part of me that's still longing and says, "Lord, thank you for this, but God, this is not going to get the attention of the world. This is not going to shame Hollywood. Because their special effects are still better than what we're seeing happen in most of the church world today." That's a tough act to follow. But you know what? God's not scared. He's not intimidated by Spielberg and all these other special effects gurus. Because he's going to move. You believe that? But we must be properly positioned to receive these things. I began seeing more dramatic healing miracles and deliverance occur as I first entered into God's presence personally. And then I encouraged the person in need to do the same. I want to stay here for just a moment. Understand how this is vital. I've been praying for people in healing lines and prayer lines where you know, you sense it. It's kind of like they're looking to you. Pray for me. Lay hands on me. It's all understood. But the focus is wrong. See, and I feel the pressure, like I'm under pressure to perform or do something for them. Why? Because they're looking this way. And so what I do, I stop looking at the need, and they need to stop looking at me as a source, and we both start looking this way. So what do? I tell the person, say, "Look, I want you right now, shut everything else out. I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands, lift up your face toward heaven. I want you to begin to worship Jesus with me." And we'll stand there and we'll just begin to worship the Lord. And you know what happens? The fear leaves. The apprehension leaves. The unbelief leaves. And eventually the spirit of infirmity leaves. What am I talking about? Manifested presence ministry. You say, "Well, how long do I do that?" Until God shows up. You'll know it. You'll know it. Why? Because at some point, sometimes God will allow me to stretch out my hands and touch Him. Other times He'll say, "Get back. Just get out of the way." And being sensitive to that can mean whether or not they walk away with a miracle. See? If I'm too quick to want to, "Okay, well, I'm going to lay hands on them now and we're going to make this happen." I don't lay hands on just everybody. Not because I don't want them to receive a miracle. I'm trying to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Now, God, is this something that you want all the glory on this? Or is this something you want me to kind of share in ministry with you? See, we're co-laborers. And at times, I just feel at peace. Yes, lay hands on them. That is scriptural. It is scriptural also that God don't need us necessarily to bring a miracle. He can do it Himself. See? And if I touch them prematurely, or if I touch them and God does not want me to do it, I can mess it up. I hope I'm not blowing no mind. No, I hope I am blowing some minds here today. If you need your mind blown in this area. Now, what I'm telling you, listen, is can be documented. In other words, I'm telling you things that I have seen results from. I've seen results, good fruit, of standing there. You say, well, what do you do if you've got 100 people in the line? Well, you shouldn't be trying to pray for 100 people. You should be teaching others to do it and releasing them to go help you. Can you say amen? That's scriptural. You got 100 people, you should be having at least 9 other people with you. And break it down a little bit, amen? You take care of the hard cases. And let all your mentor, people you're mentoring and discipling, let them get after it. Can you say amen? And then God will give you more. You know, I tell musicians all the time, I say, you know, you play a real mean guitar. Well, thank you, brother. And you know what? You've been playing a mean guitar at that level for the last 10 years. Come on. I'm being kind. I love them. And they look at me and say, well, what do you mean? I say, you ain't teaching nobody else, are you? Well, no. Well, I'm serving God with it. I said, no, not fully. You ain't giving away what you have. I said, how many people have you trained to play a guitar under the anointing? Well, I said, you get after it. See, I've got 120 songs because I keep giving them away. I ain't worried about copyrights. I got some on copyright. I don't care if somebody takes a song, makes $1 million with it. As long as their heart's right with God, it's going to go into the kingdom. So as quick as I write them, I want churches to sing them. You got people out there that have written songs, and they are so paranoid, they won't let nobody else sing them, look at them, nothing. Well, it's death. It brings poverty. There are those that give liberally and yet are increased. The word says that two are better than one, for they both have a good reward for their labors. Jesus did. He sent them out two by two. Can you say amen? We tend to drift back into ministry habit patterns of doing it alone. Why? It's more convenient. Come on, get out of my way. I knew you weren't going to do it right. I'm going to do it myself. Well, go ahead. Work yourself to death. You know? But it doesn't have to be that way. Can you say amen? Our church, our home church platform, we got a bunch of teenagers up there playing different instruments. The pastor's son is playing keyboard. My son leads worship on a keyboard. Another son of mine's playing bass. 2 sons of mine play drums, and other people's sons are singing and playing different instruments. What am I saying? We have the next wave, the next generation already coming up. And you know what I tell these young bucks and buckesses? I said, who are you mentoring? And these are teenagers. Because I know they're going to go further in their anointing if they will just take the time to encourage someone else. See, we've got to get away from the mentality of, man, I missed my miracle, but hey, check the crusade schedule. When are they coming back to town? We don't need it. Can you say amen? I envision here's the word of the Lord, that the Lord put this in my heart. Remember, there's a prophet that said, bring me a minstrel. He wanted to prophesy to someone. But he did not prophesy until a minstrel showed up and began to play. I think it was Elijah. And then David, a minstrel himself, ministered to King Saul. You remember that. Deliverance flowed. What am I talking about? Different vehicles of ministry. Different vehicles that release ministry. So it was the teaming up, if you will, of someone that had a different gift. The word says we have different gifts. God has distributed the gifts into the body of Christ as it pleases Him. May not please us all the time, but it pleases Him. And so the real key here in team ministry is bringing together or discerning the giftings in one another's lives. The Word says that we are to discern the body of Christ. We are to properly discern the body of Christ. Where are my complementing giftings in a prayer meeting, Lord? What we did here this morning, inviting up other musicians, inviting up other singers. Whatever ministry effectiveness I had was multiplied. Why? Because I was able to, in a sense, hide myself in the corporate team. Can you say amen? So when we look to surround ourselves with complementary ministries, the Lord opens the door more. He says, man, you're going to get a whole lot more done now. And you won't leave tired. Amen? We're coming to a close here. Bear with me. Here's the word of the Lord. Team up with others of complementary giftings. Flow together and work together. It's much more effective and less wear and tear on you. Amen? Team up with others. It's more effective. You know, it's not all about how much I get to minister, teach, preach, whatever. It's how effective is what I'm doing. What type of ministry is being released? You've heard the saying, the measure of a minister is not how well they preach, but how much the people remember and what they implement into their lives. See, the mark of any teacher is not how well they teach, not how much they teach, but what have the people learned? What has been imparted? That's the word I'm looking for. What kind of impartation has occurred? And I know in a sense there are powerful ministries all throughout this room. Powerful anointings. And here's the word of the Lord too. There are powerful potentials. There are doors that you've yet to step through, some of you. And God is waiting and wanting you to encourage you to step through that. Hallelujah. It is the blessing of any teacher, any minister to see his pupils or see her pupils go out there and get after it and do what they just learned. Because that's what the Lord did with his disciples. Could you say amen? I want you, if you would, to bow your head. I've rambled a little bit here, chased some rabbits, had a good rabbit hunt. But I sense in my heart overall that there were things imparted to people here, that you've come this morning with just a hunger and a thirst in your heart. And the Lord wants you to know that He will fulfill your heart desire. Why? He put it there. Why will He give you the desires of your heart? Because the Lord has put the desires in your heart because He wants to fulfill it. He wants you fulfilled. The Word says we reign in life by Christ Jesus. God just doesn't want us just getting by and barely making. He wants you to rule and reign in life in the authority of Jesus' name. He's made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Hallelujah. And it is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He delights in the prosperity of His servants. That's God's heart. That's God's mind. That's God's attitude. And just as it was back in Jesus' time, He has once again saved the best for last. You have come to the kingdom at such a time as this. There is that sense of destiny. And though you may be in going through times of God, I just don't even see how in the world you're going to get me ready for all of this. But the Lord says He has committed Himself to the task. Faithful is He who has called you, who also will do it. It is God working in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. He called you before the foundation of the world. He is mindful of His covenant. You just be mindful of His covenant. Amen? He won't forget. Sometimes we do. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my precious brothers and sisters this day. Lord, You have gathered us here in this consecrated place. Thank You for all the ministry, effective, powerful ministry that has gone before us. For the lives that have been touched, changed, and transformed in this place. I thank You for the men and women that have literally laid their lives down to make it happen. I thank You for Brother Glenn and the other men, Lord, that have literally sacrificed so much. We bless them today. And I thank You that You are going to strengthen their hands, strengthen their hearts. And Father, let the blessing just boomerang back on them, Lord, and all that they have given, all that they have song. Now, Father, I pray for each individual person, couple, family here today. And I pray for supernatural release. Supernatural release of giftings, anointings. Even as Paul prayed, brethren, I long to be with you to the end that some spiritual gift may be imparted unto you. Father, I thank you that we have treasure in earthen vessels. We have treasure in earthen vessels. Treasure in earthen vessels. I don't want to belabor this because we're a little after 12 right now, but Brother Glenn. Keep going? Okay. I want to obey the Lord here, but I want to stay subject to authority as well. If you sense this morning you have a desire to receive impartation, I don't know what all or what the Lord's going to do. I just know it's going to be good. But you desire to have hands laid on you today, I want you just to come up, stand up front, and we're going to take just a moment and minister to you. I could prophesy to everybody here, and I'm boasting just in the grace of God. If y'all would just kind of come up the aisle and file on both sides, but I'm not going to stir up the prophetic gifting in me right now. This is not the time or place for it, and perhaps the Lord will open that up. Let me say, too, before I start on this, for those of you that desire it, when we have break times and down times, if you want to learn how to play the piano by ear, if you'll give me 30 minutes, I'll teach you how to do it. I play piano by ear. The Lord taught me 20 years ago how to do it. And it takes about 20 to 30 minutes. So if you want that, you come and see me and we'll fix you up. If y'all would just keep coming in. Now, it's not going to take a lot of time with this. This is going to move quickly. And I'm going to ask a brother or two maybe just to work with me behind these folks. I don't have to pray over you or push you or nothing like that. So... get some oil there. Hallelujah. Lord, I obey your spirit now. And Lord, your word says that we have a treasure in earthen vessels. As I lay my hands upon these, Lord, you are going to impart supernatural spiritual giftings. Prepare yourself now. I want you to do this. Just begin to worship the Lord. Lift up your countenance. Come on. Some of you may want to lift your hands. Others, lift your face up. Lift your countenance upward and focus on the Lord. Don't focus on the minister or the ministry. Don't even focus on the gifts, but on the Lord Jesus that gives all things richly for us to enjoy. Receive, my sisters, yours. All that you need. All that you need. All that you need. I want a man or two to come and stand here behind as I go over. Thank you, brother. We release. Father, we release. Every good and perfect gift is yours. There it is. Receive it. Receive it. Receive, my brother. This day, good, perfect gifts from the Father of lights. I release these things into your life. Good things. Good things. I release, my brother, into your life, into your ministry. In Jesus' name, Lord, let impartation flow like a river. Let impartation flow like a river. Lord, what you've given to me, I give to my sister. And even more. Give her even more. Songs, Lord, let her write songs. Let them come forth to touch the nations. Touch the nations. Hallelujah. All intimidation breaks now. Breaks now. In Jesus' name, I release. I release, Lord, unto this sister now. I release this into her life. Good things. Impartation. Impartation, Jesus. Impartation, Jesus. I release, Lord, into this life, into this ministry now. Let your fire flow, Lord. Rivers, rivers of fire, rivers of fire, rivers of fire, rivers of fire, Jesus. I release this into her life. Ministry, Lord. Ministry, Jesus. Thank you. Opportunities, open doors. I release these things into your life, my sister, my brother. I release these things to you this day. Hallelujah. Let your rivers flow. Rivers of life. Rivers of life. Rivers of life. Supernatural giftings, Lord. Let them flow like a river. Let them flow like a river. Impartation, Jesus. Let your rivers flow. Let your rivers flow, Lord. I release these good things into this life. Open doors, opportunities, breakthrough. I release, Lord, into this life now. Impartation. Lord, let every good and perfect gift flow down from the Father of lights. In Jesus' name, it's not too late. Much to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, opportunities open doors, Father. Souls, give him souls. Give him souls. Give him nations, Lord. Your breakthrough has come today. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the open door opportunities now. Freedom. Release of liberty, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, release into this servant now good measure, anointings, Father, impartation. Let it flow by the laying on of our hands. Let it flow like a river. River of God. River of God. River of God flow. You guys keep your eyes open now. River of God flow. River of God flow. River of God flow. Hallelujah. Come stand by this man. Hallelujah. Anointings for healing. Signs, miracles. Miracles from step over here. Miracles, signs, wonders. Let them flow, Jesus. Let them flow, Jesus. Supernatural. Supernatural giftings. Supernatural giftings, Lord. Supernatural giftings we release. Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up, Jesus. Let the rivers of life flow. Let the rivers of deliverance flow. Let the rivers of anointing flow, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your anointing flow, rivers, rivers of God, by the laying on of hands, Lord, I thank you. Multiply. Multiply, Lord. Multiply the giftings. Multiply, Lord, that which has been sown in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There it is. Just take a deep breath. Receive. Fill her up, Lord. All anxiety, worry, fear, all that nervous tension, all that leaves now. Loosed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that the anointing is going to flow through this vessel like a river to destroy the yokes. A deliverer. Ministry of deliverer. Father, let it flow. Break the oppressions to crush the oppressor. Set captives free. Father, thank you for the anointing on this young man. The anointing of a deliverer, Lord, that you're raising him up for such a time as this. I release these good things into his life now. I release my brother and impart to you in Jesus' name. Father, fill him up. Fill him up with fresh fire. Fresh fire, Jesus. Fire for the nations. Fire for the nation's strategies. Strategies. Nets. I just see nets. Networking. Hallelujah. Coming together of men and materials and finances to get big jobs done. The big picture, Lord. Show him the big picture and use him to show it to others. In Jesus' name, Father. Opportunity. Open doors. Hallelujah. Just a small stone took the giant out. That's all you need. You're like a small stone in the hand of the Lord. Let him propel you where he will. Just trust him, follow him. Now, Father, release full impartation. Let her write. Give her the pen of a ready writer. Pen of a ready writer, Lord, that the message would be multiplied all over the land. Hallelujah. Father, opportunity, open doors to share our heart, to share our vision. In the name of Jesus, we release this to her now. We release this to her now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord, breakthrough. Breakthrough. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Father, we release this into his life now. Glory to God. A papa, a father heart, father ministry. Father ministry, Lord. Let the father's heart that is here. And Lord, sustain this heart physically. God's given you some more mileage, brother. The end is not yet. You still got a lot of mileage left on you. Just walk wisely. Good steward over your health. You've had to change some things, but it's extended your days because you've yielded to the Lord in this. Now, Father, use him to bring many young men, young boys that were not fathered, that were not grandfathered. I'm giving you sons. I'm giving you sons, many sons, who themselves will father others. Now give him the plan. Give him the place. Give him the provision, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you that young women are going to be restored under the hand of this lady. They're going to be taught, Lord, how to be mothers. Social skills. Hallelujah. Not just spiritual truth, but how to be ladies. Father, now multiply it. Multiply it and bring other ladies in to help where it won't weigh upon her alone. In Jesus' name, I release this thing to you now. Father, thank you for opportunity. Open door. Open doors in Jesus' name. Father, that you've just put a word of fire and a word of reconciliation in his heart to turn many into righteousness. Father, I speak your strength to him now. In Jesus' name, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost fill him. Fresh impartation. Fresh impartation. New opportunities, new open doors. Glory to God. The call, Lord, let it come from here and there. The Macedonian call, come over and help us. Lord God, and direct her life. God, and direct her path. Not to the ones that mock and reject, but to those that are desperately and appreciative of what she has to give and offer, minister. Go through the open doors. Don't wait at the closed doors. Hallelujah. Plenty of open doors. Father, release now unto this brother, in Jesus' name, the fire in evangelism, Lord. Hallelujah. Street ministry, Lord. God's guerrilla team to go into the hard places and break it open for the glory of God. Lord, use him to break open the strongholds of the enemy and set captives free. Release the captives. Deliverer, come forth. Deliverer, come forth in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for signs, wonders, miracles to flow like a river. Father, either she's suffered many things. Now, Lord, turn this thing around where she will minister to those that have suffered many things. I release, Lord, these ministries into her life. I release these into her life. Get ready. Let fresh fire. Fresh fire. Now. Fill her up, Lord. Fill her up, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Let the rivers of fire, ministry, fresh opportunity flow through her life. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we break every stronghold of discouragement. The heart sick. Lord, the delay. Things she's waited on. Now, Lord, begin to turn this around. Let her see her heart desires fulfilled. I release this to her now, Lord. These loved ones that are far off, begin to bring them in, Jesus. Begin to bring them in, Jesus. Give her strategy. Prophetic, supernatural battle strategy. Hallelujah. You've been prayed for already? Father, I thank you for this servant. And Lord, right now, I pray for extension of days. I pray, Lord, that you will multiply her days. And Lord, that you'll multiply her health. Lord, touching your spinal cord, scoliosis, any curvature of the spine, I command it to depart now. In Jesus' name, Lord, these hips, restore, Lord God, the bone and the cushioning on her hip sockets. All of the joints, Lord, I command arthritis. I curse this thing. I command it, depart her now. Depart from her now. Just lift up your face. Lift your countenance. Let's just worship Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. You are the healer, Jesus. You are the great physician. We touch you now, Jesus. Touch you now, Jesus. Creative miracles. Creative miracle. There it is. Creative miracle, Jesus. Come on. Out. All of this out. Out. I command these joints to come back full mobility, full motion. Osteoporosis, you are cursed. Father, make these bones fat and healthy and strong in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move that neck around. Loosed. Command this neck and spine be properly aligned in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, you're touching her renal system. touch her, Lord, all the way through. Heal and restore every part in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord's a good shot, huh? Amen. Father, I thank you for this servant we release into this life. Good measure. Every good and perfect gift, Lord, let it come down from the Father of lights. Release miracle power to this intercessor. You haven't seen anything yet. You've seen some things, but the Lord says, you shall see greater things to come because you believed. Therefore, you'll receive and you'll see it. Said I not unto you, if thou wouldst believe, you would see the glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pass. Hallelujah. That's your daughter. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this special vessel. I thank you for this life. And Lord God, I thank you for the anointing that rests upon her so mightily. And Lord, I thank you that you've raised her up not only to flow in the anointing, but to impart it to others. Hallelujah. Lord, the boldness of the Holy Ghost, you've done such a great work in her. Now, Lord, you just want her to know that yes and amen, the doors are open. Opportunities are open. The greatest shall be servant of all. And you've been a servant of all. And it's marked you for greatness in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I don't say this many people sis, but I just sense there is an anointing on your life likened unto what we saw in Catherine Coleman for healing, miracle signs and wonders, mass meetings. But the key in your ministry is not only will you demonstrate, but you are going to impart and train others. Just what we were talking about this morning. Mentoring others to move in the supernatural. You've got a great heart of a teacher. It's come down through your spiritual DNA. But not just to teach, but to impart. So Lord, the measure that is on our life, let it be multiplied. Bless it, break it, multiply it, and spread it abroad, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. You want to do a course?
You can pray for me.
Oh, brother, my privilege.
Pray for you.
Yeah, amen. Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you for the times of refreshing. Lord, it's been his heart desire for this place, Lord, not only to be a deliverance and a teaching center, but a revival center. And Lord, revival has come, revival is here. But Father, there's been ebbs and flows. But the Lord wants you to know, my brother, that he's bringing the ministry here into a time and season of continual outpouring where the presence will be it'll reach saturation level. The Lord has poured out his spirit here and there, and there have been visitations, but the Lord says you are moving to a place now of habitation where he is going to inhabit day and night, 24 hours a day. I see people coming and just falling out in the parking lot. They won't even make it, they have to be carried in. They won't even make it into the building. I see people that have to be carried to their rooms, literally. That you're gonna have stretchers. Some people are gonna make fun of it, but it is gonna be noised all around the world that this is a place where they got stretcher crews to carry you back to your room and dump you on the bed because it's gonna be so powerful people will not be able to get up. You've tasted of these things, but the Lord says the taste is gonna become a torrent. The river is coming as you have never experienced it to this time, but you've seen it and you've longed for it and you've given me no rest. You've given me no peace day or night. I am coming with a visitation. It will be a habitation. This place is already on God's spiritual map, but it's about to be put on man's map. It's about to be put on man's map. Even lost people are going to come here and look around, check it out. People driving by on the road are going to drive off the road. Their car is supernaturally going to stop some of them. And they say, well, I might as well go in there. My car won't work. They'll come in here, get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, go back to their car and start up and drive off. People are going to show up saying, I had a vision of this place, and when I saw the sign, I knew this was it. Father, I thank you for angelic visitation in Lake Catherine, Lake Hamilton, Hot Springs, all throughout this area, that angels of the Lord are going to go to and fro and gather in God's elect to this place. Now, Lord, strengthen my brother. Speak strength to him, Jesus. He's dreamed about it. He's prayed and fasted for it. And the Lord wants you to know you are not going to miss out on it. You're not going to miss out on it. I see you like a surfer, brother, riding the wave. Hallelujah. Just God's surfer, just riding right on the crest of the wave. Hallelujah. You're not going to fall off, don't worry. God's going to bring you all the way in. Father, I speak right now to any heart murmur, to any skip, any palpitation in this physical heart. And I thank you, Lord, for supernatural restoration. I speak to that valve. Valve, you line up in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for this heart firing properly. He's going to fulfill his destiny. He's going to fulfill his days and even extend it, Jesus. Hallelujah.
When the Catholic youth were here a few years back, we had about 240 of them. The Spirit of the Lord came in and slew about 50 of them all over this place. And we had to pick up about 15 of them and carry them up and put them in their beds about 1 o'clock in the morning. It's going to happen again and again.
Oh, yeah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.